Hi, I'm Tamara Vineska from the University of Chicago. I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators on this project, David Grabowski at Harvard Medical School, Marcelo Coco-Perayon, who's a doctoral student working with me, and Rachel Werner at the University of Pennsylvania. I also apologize, my voice is going a little bit, but hopefully I'll last through. So this is a little bit different than the title that was in the book, but it's the same project. And the sort of big picture context of this project is that basically, in the U.S., we've been worried about the quality of nursing home care for many decades. And there have been many well-intentioned policies implemented that have tried to improve the quality of nursing home care. But like any policies that are implemented, there are often sort of both intended and unintended effects. And some of the unintended effects may have to do with heterogeneous effects on certain substrata of the population. So one substratum that we might be particularly worried about in the U.S. right now is a group that I'm going to call the duals. And what the duals is short for is dually eligible. That's actually not a very good term either, because what it really means is that they're not just eligible, but actually enrolled, dually enrolled in both Medicaid and Medicare. So Medicaid is the needs-based system of health care for the poor in the U.S. Medicare is the system, almost universal system of health care for people, elderly people and the disabled, so 65 and older and the disabled. And then there's this group of people who qualify for both, because they are both elderly or disabled and poor. There's a lot of policy attention on them lately, and I'll show you why in a minute. This group in particular tends to be poorer, almost by definition, because they've qualified for Medicaid, tends to be poorer and sicker than the non-duals. They're disproportionately racial and ethnic minorities, and they tend to be served by the lowest quality providers and live in poorer neighborhoods. So this is one of the reasons there's so much policy tension on this group, that I'm going to call the duals. It looks from the perspective of the Medicare program. Duals make up 20% of Medicare beneficiaries, but they consume 31% of the spending. And similarly, from the perspective of Medicaid, duals are 15% of the Medicaid enrollees, but they consume 39% of the funds. And this disproportionate spending is largely due to long-term care. Right? So Medicaid is the payer of default for nursing home care, which costs about $90,000 a year. So even if people can sort of afford to pay out of pocket for a little while, they often spend down, end up on Medicaid, and if they're elderly, that means they're duals. So a lot of the duals population is basically poor elderly in nursing homes. So as I said, there have been longstanding quality concerns in nursing homes over the past few decades. And in healthcare in general, there's been a big momentum behind public reporting policies as a way to potentially increase the quality of care. We can think of poor quality as being potentially due to a market failure in healthcare, sort of from the economics perspective, that we have asymmetric information that we as consumers can't really judge the quality of care we're getting from a healthcare provider. And if we can't really judge that quality, then it's difficult for us to shop around and pick the highest quality providers. And if we can't do that, then providers don't have much incentive to compete on the basis of quality. So public reporting, or healthcare report cards, is intended to directly address that market failure, right? If we put put information about quality in the public domain, then we have that information as consumers, and then providers will also be incentivized to increase quality. The particular program we're going to look at in the study is called Nursing Home Compare. It's a web-based healthcare report card. It was launched initially in 2002. It had a variety of measures on staffing, on regulatory compliance, and on clinical quality outcomes. But the original system was somewhat messy in that all of those measures were reported individually. And the government ended up thinking that it was the system was way too complicated to be really useful to consumers. So in 2008, they launched a five-star system, just like you see restaurant ratings and things like that. It's based on government reports, not on consumer reports, but basically all kinds of data on quality is sort of wrapped up into this five-star system, where five-star nursing homes are considered to be the best quality, and one-star the worst. And a little bit more specifically, About once a year, nursing homes are inspected by the Medicare and Medicaid surveyors, and the results of these inspections then are converted into a score. And that score forms about 80% of the star rating, right? And then the star rating can shift. They're initially assigned based on these inspection scores, and then they can shift up or down based on two other quality domains, risk-adjusted staffing ratios and clinical quality measures, outcomes such as, you know, the percent of residents in physical restraints or with pressure sores or with falls. These are only constitute 20% of the overall rating because regulators thought, you know, they're based on self-reported data and they're going to be less reliable or less valid. So this is what the system looks like from a consumer's perspective. You get on the web, you can put in a zip code or a city, and it'll come up with a list of the nursing homes that are in that area, and then you can compare them if you want. But you get this overall star rating, so this facility has a 3-star rating, and then you get a star rating for each of those individual domains. And you can still get the detail behind those star ratings if you keep clicking on, but we assume a lot of people just kind of look at the overall ratings. So the particular unintended consequence or issue that we want to look at in this paper is not sort of the overall response. I mean, I think regulators kind of assume that people have responded more, and there's some evidence to show that people have responded more to this 5-star system than they did to the old system. But what we're interested in here is the heterogeneity, going back to this issue about the duals. So why might there be different effects for different people? In which direction will this go? Well, people may be differentially able to actually access the information and to understand the information and then to act on it, right? So there are multiple levels in which you might have heterogeneous effects. It could go in different directions. I think people worry about inequities being exacerbated the most, and that is also what we find. But one might hypothesize that it would act as an equalizer, right? That the people who are already wealthy, the non-duals, who are already wealthy and more educated, already kind of know how to figure out who are the best providers, right? They have other channels for doing so. And so by putting this information out there in the form of healthcare report cards, basically the people who wouldn't have found out that information anyway are now able to get it. But the other direction can certainly happen, and as I said, it is a little bit more likely, where we sort of exacerbate these kinds of inequities or disparities. And that can happen in a couple of ways. It may be that duals, for example, or other sort of underserved minorities are less able to actually access the information or use it. And so they don't end up picking the higher quality providers where the more educated people do or the wealthier people do. There's also a sort of provider level response, right? If you think that providers, now that this information is out there, have an incentive to increase their quality, the providers that duals go to may be less able or inclined to improve quality. So you may, even with no change in consumer response, you may see a difference just based on which providers people go to. So what we're doing in this project, what I'm only going to show you today is results from AIM-1, but I wanted to give you the broader context where we're investigating this heterogeneity. So first of all, we just kind of want to look at what actually happened. So did duals benefit versus non-duals or not? And if so, how? What was the mechanism, the consumer or the provider or both? In AIM-2, we're investigating more of the reasons for this. So is it that if duals don't respond to having this quality information out there, if they don't actually choose the high quality providers then, why is that? Is it perhaps because of differences in education? Is it about distance to a high quality provider? Or is it about having a Medicaid bed available, right? Because you can't just go anywhere. You have to go where somebody will accept your payer source. And then we're also doing a qualitative, so this is all quantitative. We're also doing a qualitative component where we're interviewing consumers, both duals and non-duals, to find out how they use information about quality in making their decisions about nursing home placement. Okay, to motivate this a little bit more, I'll show you this map. The colors aren't coming out very well in here. This is a map of Chicago, the Chicago area, where I live. How we generally think about Chicago is that, you know, here's the downtown, but the north is rich, south is poor, right? So I live on the south side where University of Chicago is, a few blocks from where Obama lives when he's not in Washington, D.C. But mostly, except for this little bit of Hyde Park where the university is, most of the south side is poor. These shadings here represent income. So the darker shadings is, the darkest shading is the highest quintile of income, and the white basically is the lowest quintile of income. So it's a little bit more nuanced than what I just said, but there's, you know, sort of more rich people here and more poor people here. And what these dots on this show, this is greater Chicago area, so over here we're getting all the way into Gary, Indiana. What these dots show basically is these are the one-star facilities, the bad facilities. So basically, there's equal opportunity all over Chicago to find a really bad nursing home, right? It doesn't matter where you live, how poor you are, how rich you are, you can always find a bad nursing home where you are. But contrast that to the five-star nursing homes, right? So these are the best, basically, the best nursing homes. They've got the highest ratings, all on the north side. All on the north side of Chicago, which again, you know, there are these areas in here which are not so rich on the north side, but they're not located there. They're all basically not only located on the north side, but in the richer areas of the north side. And so if you live down here where I do, basically you have to travel a long way to find a really high quality nursing home. Okay, so if we look at nursing homes that have a high percentage of duals versus a low percentage of duals in the country, the red dots are those that are in the highest quintile of duals, so they basically have about 90% or more duals or, you know, Medicaid-funded people in their facility, and the blue dots are the rest of the nursing homes. And basically what you see is that there are a lot of dual nursing homes in sort of the big urban areas, Chicago, New York, LA, down around New Orleans. Yeah, the map's not coming out so clear here on the, but that there's a lot of, for example, a lot of dual, a lot of poverty, and therefore a lot of duals in the southern part of the country. But you also see that there are a lot of parts of the country where there just aren't nursing homes, right? The very rural area. So that's an access problem in and of itself. Okay, so that was just motivation. We get back to the actual project. The data we use, we have really great and detailed data. So we have the star ratings data from the government, both actually pre and post the time it was published, so we can use that in our analysis. We have regular clinical assessments on all patients of all nursing homes, all residents of all nursing homes in the country over time. And we have some the dual status we take from the Medicare claims, and then we have some facility level attributes from OSCAR. So we have a huge data set, and we look at it from 2008, before the ratings were published, because they were published at the very end of 2008, the five stars, through 2010. And what I'm going to show you today is, first, we're just going to look descriptively at duals and non-duals and where they're going. Right? Do they go to one star or five star? What's the distribution of facilities that they go to? And then we put this into a regression framework and run difference in difference models, where we look at the non-duals over time, and then interact the time indicators with the duals and just see the magnitudes of the differences in where people end up. And then we're going to explore the mechanism. Is this a provider mechanism, provider-driven mechanism, or a consumer-driven mechanism? And we do this in a very simple way. And this is, we just look at the duals and the distribution of where they're going over time, pre and post this policy, and we run this with and without facility fixed effects. So without this facility fixed effects, we're basically looking at the total distribution in duals. With the fixed effects, we're just looking at the within provider changes over time in their star ratings, right? And so the difference between that is really what we can attribute to consumers actually choosing different types of facilities. And I won't really show you that because the results don't change our conclusions at all if we just look at the new admissions. So I'm going to look at where duals are, but if you look at new admissions and choices, it's basically the same story. Okay, a little bit of descriptive information. Who are the duals, actually? As we see, there are a lot of duals, right? So about two-thirds of nursing home residents in the states are actually dually eligible. So it's not a trivial or a niche group. It's a pretty important group. And if we're trying to improve nursing home quality of care and we don't hit that group, that seems like a problem. also because they start with the lowest baseline level of quality. I said they were disproportionately minority, and that's true. They have higher percentages of minority, but, you know, basically, the majority of duals are still white, right? So they're just poor. And this is really more about socioeconomic status than about racial and ethnic status. And what else? There are some, they tend to have more mental health and dementia, but in other kinds of diagnoses, they're kind of similar. Okay, so these are the beginnings of the results here. So this is basically just the duals, and we see that, so this is 2008 before the ratings came in. The ratings were instituted in this quarter, during 2008, so this is after. And what we see is that duals are pretty likely to be in one-star facilities, the poorest quality facilities, at baseline, and pretty unlikely to be in the highest quality facilities, but that it actually decreases a little bit over time, right? So the fact that we see this kind of shift over is a good thing. The proportions in some of the middle ones stay about the same, but the proportion in the best quality facilities improves, and the proportion in the lowest quality facilities declines. So that seems like a good thing. If we look at the non-duals, it's the same story, but a little more dramatic, right? So they're a little less likely at baseline to be in the really bad facilities, a little more likely at the beginning. They improve, and actually they improve a little bit more. And we'll be able to see this a little bit more in the regression results. So as I said, we have sort of resident level data here. And so the dual indicator at baseline means in 2008, how much more likely were duals to be in a one-star facility or in a five-star facility. So these are two separate regressions. And we see that duals at baseline were 5.5 percentage points more likely to be in a very low quality facility than the non-duals were. And they're significantly less likely to be in a five-star facility, right? So that's not surprising given what we just saw on the other graph. And then, so these year indicators basically tell us for the non-duals, what was the change. And for the non-duals, they seem to have improved their situation over time. So they're less likely by a few percentage points to be in a one-star and more likely to be in a five-star over time. And the interaction gives us, how does that trend different for the duals versus the non-duals? And basically we see that the trend is not significantly different for the one-stars. They're still much more likely to be in a one-star. It's just that they sort of all improve a little bit. and the trend is significantly less for the duals versus the non-duals in terms of actually getting into five-star facilities or actually going to five-star facilities. Thanks. And then if we look at the within provider improvement versus consumer choice as like how is this actually happening or how are they improving their situation, we're just looking at the duals here. Like I said, we do it without the fixed effects and with the facility level fixed effects. And basically what we see is that the results are almost identical, right? Like these are almost identical to these are almost identical to these. And so, you know, what that tells us is that the improvement we see for the duals, it's improvement, even if it's not quite as much improvement as the non-duals. The improvement we see for the duals is largely driven by within-provider improvement and not by consumers, you know, finding their ratings and going to a better facility. It's that they go to the same facilities they've always gone to, whatever's available in their neighborhoods, but those providers have found a way to improve their quality over time, right? Or at least improve their ratings. We're not really... I'm sort of ignoring the fact that the ratings may or may not actually reflect true improvements in quality. So we think this is mostly a within-provider kind of phenomenon. And this is consistent with what we're finding from the qualitative research as well, that it turns out a lot of people still, even though this is really well-publicized, actually don't really use this information or don't know much about the ratings. And then if they do know about the ratings, there are these other things that do kind of dominate the decision, like you know, recommendations of a physician and family and friends, and distance, and you know, what's available in the neighborhood. Okay, so a couple of quick conclusions. we saw pretty clearly that duals are more likely to be in the worst quality nursing homes before the system came out. Everybody sees a little bit of an improvement, but even after a nursing home compare comes out, duals are still more likely to be in poor quality nursing homes. The improvement they see, you know, is very small compared to the big gap between duals and non-duals. So they do seem to benefit, but non-duals benefit more. The improvement for duals is driven primarily by within facility improvement over time, not by duals choosing better facilities. I didn't talk about the control variables, but if we control for all of those things I had on that chart before, these things, basically we get the exact same results. I mean, the magnitudes shift a little bit. And what that tells us is that this is really about Medicaid status, right? This is about poverty and where people live and being on Medicaid and having limited choices because they're on Medicaid. This is not about race, et cetera. Like the race, ethnicity, all of those kind of things did not mediate, or even their health conditions and dementia, did not mediate the results that we found. And so that's it for our annual run results. We're just, at this point, looking forward to looking at those distance indicators in a more rigorous way, quantitatively, and trying to find out the relative impact of all of these things, which will translate, hopefully, a little more specifically into policy recommendations. Thank you.